Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 17 tonight, and I'd like for you to also mark Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, I'm sorry, verse 17 in Mark, but Matthew chapter 17, if you want to just go ahead and find that place in your Bible. I want to read some of this where we were this morning, and the Bible said over in Mark chapter number 9, the multitude answered and said in verse 17, Master, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. I noticed this afternoon. The Bible said they could not. The Bible didn't say they would not. There's a difference between not being willing and not being able to do something. It said they could not. And he answered and said unto them, or he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times, I don't know how many times that is, but it was often that this happened. It had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. How many believes we serve a God that can do anything? Amen. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. In other words, Jesus said there's a responsibility on your part. That's to believe. He said all things are possible to him that believe. You know, I believe when that Jesus said this to this man, I believe the Father knew that he couldn't hide anything from God. He couldn't hide anything. And so he cried out and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And tonight we'd like to try to conclude the thought that the Lord has put in our heart, finding help in our unbelief. Well, I believe we can find help, don't you, in our unbelief. And I believe the Lord will help us tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to read the Bible. Lord, I thank you that I know what it is to read the Bible. But Lord, I want to thank you more than that, that I know what it is for the Bible to read me. I pray, dear Father, tonight, Lord, that you'd strengthen our faith, strengthen our church, strengthen us, Lord, as a nation. I pray, Lord, there'd be a revival of the fear of God in the land. Lord, I know that the day may come when you'll have to shake us as a nation once again, as you did the children of Israel over and over, as you have to this country before. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'd just help us to glean and help us, our Lord, tonight just to just make up our mind right now that, Lord, whatever you say to us, we'll do it for the glory of God, for the cause of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I don't know exactly how it's going to go tonight, but I'd like to just dive in here and see what the Lord will say to us. I want to kind of give you three things tonight in the message. This morning we talked about prayer. The Bible says later this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. God spoke to my heart as I read a parallel passage in the book of Matthew. We'll be reading from it a little bit in the message. But tonight I believe the first thing, if we're going to find help in our unbelief, we've got to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on someone else. I believe the Christian life is supposed to be a life that's lived for others. Jesus said, the Bible said that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And I thought that was good. When you take our people, Miss Eve showed me a picture a while ago, some of our folks serving over at the Salvation Army. I asked Jesse a while ago, I said, Jesse, did you get in that lasagna? She said, no, but I wanted to. I said, praise God, I can identify right there, amen. I've thought about another good name for lasagna. If some of that stuff is called Stouffer's, then I'm going to call Miss Eve Stouffer's. Say amen. That's close enough, amen. When I get it in front of me, I'm going to stuff her. Say amen. I'm going to eat what I can. I like it. Actually, that's an understatement. I love it, amen. But tonight, we need to think about others. And the first thing I want to say in the message tonight is if we're going to find help, we need to find ourselves desperate for our fellow man. Here's a man that had a son, and this son's in bad shape. This son needs help. You know, tonight, there are people in this church that have a son that needs help. There are people in this church that have a daughter that needs help. There are people that you work with, beloved, that need help. There are people down at the hospital that need help. And I believe Jesus was one that was just always trying to help someone else. The Apostle Paul, you know, the verse he gave us, he said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. There's several things that I see right here that ought to cause us to kind of understand this spirit of desperation. There was a faithlessness. There was a family. There was a fall. The Word of God talked about how he fell into the fire. There's a fire. The Word of God talked about how he foameth. There's just all kinds of conditions going on in this young man's life. But you know, tonight, the reason God is raising up a people of prayer, a people to believe him, is because there's so many, beloved, that have experienced the fall of sin. Amen. But yet they have not been to Calvary yet. They have not seen the light yet. They cannot yet sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And beloved, the Apostle Paul makes it plain in Romans chapter 1, we're debtors. We owe it to them. Thank God when we were lost and undone, somebody prayed for us. Somebody was a light in our generation, amen. And now we need to be that light for somebody else along the way. So there's a desperation for our fellow man. I believe this with all of my heart. Beloved, listen. There are people that come in and out of our church, in and out, every Sunday. There's hardly a Sunday goes by that somebody's not visiting with our church. And we just need to be so sensitive. Wouldn't it be something if we were just so wrapped up in ourselves that we would walk right by visitors and they would feel unwelcomed or feel unloved? Oh, beloved, listen, that had not ought to be, and I don't think it is. But we ought to be so sensitive to the Lord if we look around and see somebody. And by the way, it'd be all right to walk all the way from this section all the way over to that section. Say amen. And shake hands with somebody and welcome them and let our light shine for the glory of God. So here, this man is going to find help because there's a desperation in his heart for his son. The second thing I want to give you tonight, and this might be where we key in tonight, I believe we can find help for our unbelief when we're desperate for our fellow man. But when we think about this, when we find ourselves not only desperate for our fellow man, but when we find ourselves disappointing our faithful master. Beloved, listen, Jesus, when you got saved, is both Lord and Christ, amen. He's our master. He bought us. He paid for us. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. And thank God tonight that he is. But I want to ask you something tonight. When the Bible said here, he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. I want you to think about for just a moment, beloved, the emotion
that was in the heart of the disciples as they had to hear the Lord Jesus say this. O faithless generation. The word of God said up there in verse number 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart tonight that sometimes it's a good motive. I can remember times in my childhood that I would do the right thing because I can remember the time before when I didn't do the right thing and the disappointment that was in my father's eyes and the disappointment that was in my father's voice. And I believe with all of my heart these disciples realized right here this day that, beloved, they had an opportunity and yet they had disappointed their father. And I believe, listen, if we want to stay away from that, it would make us want to believe God. It would make us want to walk with God. It would make us want to serve others and not find ourselves in that condition, amen, where we would disappoint our father. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The word of God said, beloved, that in verse 22, that these trials were come to destroy him. It cast him into fire and into the waters to destroy him. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart tonight, there are people all around us, will be all week long, that the devil desires to destroy them. He desires to take many to hell. And then those that are saved, he desires to destroy our testimony, destroy our influence in this world. But thank God, greater is he that's in us tonight than he that's in the world. I want you to think about this tonight, disappointing our faithful master. Turn over, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. I believe it's important when you're studying these stories in the gospel to read every account of that story, because it's not that one is more accurate than another, but beloved, in order to get the whole picture, I believe it's wise to read every account that God has given. So this account is given again in the book of Matthew. It's also given in the book of Luke. Watch this now in the book of Matthew. Let's start reading in verse 14. We're talking about disappointing our faithful master, disappointing our Father who is in heaven. The Bible said, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man. Watch what it says here. We learn something. Kneeling down. This man is humble before the Lord. He knows that the only hope for his son is in the Lord that's standing in front of him. Watch this. Lord, he said, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said unto them, O faithless, look at this phrase, and perverse generation. Beloved, let me give you some things tonight I believe will help us. He said, how long shall I be with you? If you go over here where we've been reading, he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? He uses a word here. And beloved, it's a strong word. I'm telling you tonight, there are preachers that will stand in pulpits and they'll preach about the perversion that's going on in the world, this preacher included. Say amen. And we ought to preach against it. In other words, the world has taken things that is wholesome. Beloved, sex inside the bonds of marriage is wholesome and it's of God, amen, but it's been perverted, it's been twisted by a world that's warped, amen, in their thinking, and that's went away from the truth of the Word of God. But watch this tonight, he's not talking about the world now, he's talking about, beloved, he's talking to that group of people that's standing there. That man, the disciples, those that are the multitude that's gathered around, he said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? I thought I should look this up. I'm glad that I did. This comes from a Greek word. and I think you would pronounce it diastopho, but it means to distort. Let me ask you something, beloved. How many of y'all are a child of God? Listen to me carefully. Now, when we're not walking by faith, when we're in that battle and we're eat up with unbelief, how many believes that those around us are getting a distorted view of our Savior? A distorted view. How many's with me tonight? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, that child of God that's out there sucking on a beer bottle tonight, beloved, listen, you say, preacher, that can't be. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're capable of anything after you get saved that you ever did before you got saved, and more. That's why in the epistles, the Apostle Paul gives warning after warning. He's not warning the barroom crowd. He's warning the church house crowd. Don't go back yonder. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, Brother Gary, if I just haul off tonight after church and just give you a good cussing, that's not what this faith is about. Say amen. Carrying envy and strife, anger and malice. I'm not just talking about drunkenness and adultery and all that other stuff. I'm telling you, beloved, when we're not walking with God and walking in faith, there's a distorted view of Christianity to those around us. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. I don't say this to hurt, but it's the truth. There's people that will never darken the door of a church again because of what they've seen go on inside the church house. And it's sad. Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, faithless. Oh, Brother Ralph, I don't want him to look at me and say, oh, faithless and perverse generation. I don't want him to look at me like that." This word means to distort. It means to misinterpret. It means to corrupt. It means to turn away. Brother Steve, to live our life in such a way that it would turn somebody away. Oh, it'd be better not to ever live than to turn somebody away from Christ and toward hell. The Bible said it like this: it'd be better to have a millstone hung around your neck, cast into the bottom of the sea, than to offend one of these, my little ones. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what this has got to do with unbelief." Got a lot to do with it. It'll help us, say amen, to walk right, live right, act right, talk right, amen. It'll help us to believe God if we realize, beloved, a good motive for doing that is we do not want to disappoint the one who went to Calvary and died for us. We don't want to disappoint him. Barnes, he's a man that I read after some, studying the Bible. He talks about this perverse generation. He said it's twisted or turned from a proper direction. He said often it's used of the eyes when one or both are turned from their natural position. I thought about my little granddaughter, Olivia. You remember early in her childhood that her eye was not positioned right. It was turned. You know what we need? We need a church and a pastor that will turn their eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I believe tonight, as Jesus says this here in Matthew, there's a sting to it. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We can find help for our unbelief when we get desperate for our fellow man. When we think about ourselves disappointing our faithful master. Barnes said another definition here that would fit would be to hold opinions that are perverted or turned or perverted from the truth. Let me just say this to you. According to that, pulpits in America are standing full of perversion. When you got somebody in the pulpit, beloved, listen to me, and it's all over America, that's telling people there's nothing wrong with drinking. Bible says different. When you got people saying there's nothing wrong with abortion, the Bible says different. When you got people saying there's nothing wrong with adultery, the Bible says different. Oh, there's nothing wrong with Sodom. The Bible says different. Beloved, I believe the Bible is right. God knew that sin in any generation would eat at us and destroy us. God doesn't want us destroyed. God wants us delivered. He wants us developed for His honor and for His glory. So there's a desperation for our fellow man, the disappointing of our faithful master. And I believe we can find help if we concentrate in those two areas. I don't want to disappoint him. I know that I have. My mind, it goes back many, 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 many times, Brother Brian, to something Brother John said in Sunday school. He said, we can do better. If you can't say amen to that, I worry about you. I can do better in my faith. I can do better in my prayer life. I can do better to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I can do better at reaching souls. I can do better at carrying somebody else's burden. The last thing I'll give you in the message tonight. We're going to find help in our unbelief. We need to find ourselves desperate for our fellow man. We need to find ourselves thinking about disappointing our faithful master. But the last thing I want to give you is we need to find ourselves dependent upon our Father in heaven. Watch this tonight. You say, preacher, do you believe this man depended on him? Well, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Here was a man that came to Jesus. In another text, he fell down before Jesus. Listen to me. He knew that he needed help. You know who Jesus is going to come to? Those that know they need his help. I honestly believe, listen to me, I'm not throwing stones tonight, but I believe every Sunday school teacher needs his help. Every preacher that God's got his hand on realizes they can't do it by themselves. They need God's help. Every daddy in this building tonight ought to know, I cannot be the daddy that I'm supposed to be without God's help. Every mama ought to be realizing tonight, I cannot be the mama that God wants me to be without his help. I can't be the pastor, the husband, the father, the papaw. I cannot be the Christian I'm supposed to be without God's help. I need help. I need help. This man realized he needs help. And that'll cause us to be dependent. You know, I'm not throwing any stones, but we're not Southern Baptists. We don't answer to an association or put money out there where we have no idea where it's going or what it's going for. We're what we call independent Baptists, which means the church is governed by the body. And we look to the Lord, amen. But watch this tonight. We should never, in that title, independent Baptists lose sight of the fact that we need to be dependent Baptists. We need to be depending upon our God to do what you and I cannot do. Beloved, he realized we need help. The second thing we realize, we need honesty. The Bible said in verse number 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, I'll say this, I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you are. Beloved, in a moment of time, your toughness can be turned into tears. Your heart can be broken in a moment of time. And the word of God said here, this man is honest. He straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I've said for years, I believe it's true, whether you're talking about a sinner or a saint, the first step to getting help from God is getting honest with God. Me and Brother Steve been into it over something. I'm giving you a scenario. We've had words. And I walk up to Brother Steve and I say, Brother Steve, if I've offended you, forgive me. No, we ain't getting no help. I walk up to him and say, Brother Steve, I acted like an idiot a while ago. And God's wore me out. And I need you to forgive me. We're about to get some help. People come to the altar, oh God, if I've done wrong or if I've sinned, won't you just take 10 seconds and be quiet and think about it, and the Holy Ghost will show you exactly where you are. We can get help if we get honest. I'm going to tell you something. There's no use asking God if something's wrong if the Bible's already said it's wrong. Ain't no use in asking God about it, because his Bible ain't going to change and his mind ain't going to change about right and wrong. God's already nailed it down. So we realize we need help. We realize we need honesty. We realize there's hope. I want to say to you tonight, my faith has been in such a place many times in my life where I'd given up hope. Anybody ever been there? They ain't gonna change. They ain't never gonna change. God don't want us to live like that. God wants us to say, Lord, I can't change it, but I know the one who can. I know the one that can take care of this problem. I know the one who can. The Bible said when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. I'll say this tonight. Jesus didn't take this man. Now listen to me carefully. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say. Jesus didn't take this young man by the hand and lift him up because this young man had faith. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up because his daddy had faith. He had faith that Jesus was the Lord. And he said, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, Lord, this has been going on so long. And Jesus already knew anyway that he was thinking, I'm just not sure. But he's thinking, I need you to help us. If you can do anything, help us. Help us. I believe with all of my heart tonight, there's hope. We need to be dependent upon our Father in heaven. Jesus took him by the hand. You remember the story where the man that was sick of the palsy, I believe he was sick of the palsy, he was born of four, and they couldn't get in to where Jesus was, so they went up on the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and they let him down. And the Word of God said, when he saw their faith, listen to me tonight. We've prayed like this before. What I'm talking about, I've been in meetings, and I've heard preachers say this before. We need to pray God to put sand in their bed. You ever heard something like that? We need to pray God to put crackers in their bed. We need to pray God to take sleep. Let me ask you something. How many believes that judgment must first begin at the house of God? And it might be a better prayer tonight to say, God, take some of our sleep. Give us our burden back. Give us our tears back. Help us to be that man, that woman, that will believe God for somebody else. That they might come to know him. That they might be delivered from whatever the bondage is that they're under. We can find help in our unbelief. But we can't find it until we get honest. It's been a while. I can't remember how long exactly. But I held up a sheet of paper. Some of you may remember it and you may not. But I held up a sheet of paper. And I made this statement, Brother David. I said, if I ask you to write down right now everything that you're believing God for, would it take a sheet of paper? Or would it take a half a sheet of paper? Or would it take a fourth? How many believes we ought to be praying about some things? Say amen. Let me just say this to you. An old preacher taught me this years ago. He said there's such a thing as corporate prayer, agreeing like we said this morning, making a prayer request. But he said every one of God's children ought to be praying about something that nobody else knows about. He said, that way when God answers that prayer, you know he heard your prayer. We're weak people. We're human beings. And when everybody knows about the prayer request and God answers it, how many's with me tonight? We're wondering, God, did you hear our prayer? Did you hear somebody else's prayer? Dr. Harold Robinson, pastor in Bristol for years. I believe he had a third or fourth grade education. Wonderful man of God. He's in heaven now. I think his daughter was in her 30s, wasn't she, honey? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, about 37 years old when the Lord took his daughter home. Brother Howard, he told us one time in a revival meeting, he said, I heard that you're supposed to pray for something that nobody else knows you're praying for. He said one day he was in the shed and he realized there was a shovel that he didn't have. It was a long-handled, pointed shovel. And he said, I just thought, you know, I could go buy that shovel. He loved God. Brother Steve, when he went visiting, he would go open the door on the passenger side. He was going by himself. But he would say, Lord, get in. Because if you don't go, there ain't no need me going. If you don't go with me. And he got to praying, and he prayed. I can't remember how long he told us, Miss Eve, but it's a good while he prayed, Lord, I'd just like for you to give me a long-handled, pointed shovel. He said he had gone down the road one day, and this is unlikely, but the shovel was laying in the middle of the road. I guess you would say, I guess the word would be parallel with the yellow line. In other words, it wasn't laying this way in the road where somebody done run over it and broke a handle out of it. But he said, I pulled off, and he said, just for a second I thought, he said, then I remembered. God said, that's what you asked me for. He said, there it is. He said, it's brand new, laying right there on the yellow line in the middle of the road. He said, preacher, that's silly. You listen to me tonight. If we get a hold of this, we can get our faith increased and strengthened. We get to praying about something. And beloved, one of the things about prayer that I believe we're missing many times is the Spirit of God needs to lead us in prayer. The Bible talks about praying in the Spirit. It's not talking about praying in the flesh, amen? It's not talking about just something you come up with in your mind, but God putting on your heart, amen? When's the last time God put something on your heart so strong you knew it was Him and you knew you needed to pray about it? And you know what happens? Listen, maybe everybody's not like this, but I find myself when I get under a burden, I get to praying about something that many times, not always, but many times, if not most times, God wants me to put feet on my prayers. Does that make any sense? Put legs on them. Be a blessing to someone else along life's way. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Did anybody get any help today from this? I figure tonight that if one of us is struggling in an area, there's a good possibility that many of us are struggling in that same area. I believe, Brother Steve, that one of the things that this is one of the things it's talking about over there when it says, confess your faults one to another and be ye healed. In other words, don't stand up here, preacher, and act like you've got all the faith in the world and act like you've got this thing of prayer. You've got it nailed down and you don't have any room for improvement in your life. Be honest with your people. And let them know we're in this thing together. Let's go forward. Let's trust God. What would happen? I don't know how many people is here tonight, maybe 80 or 100 people here tonight. But what would happen if 80 or 100 people were praying, oh God, let us see somebody walk out and get saved. Oh God, let us see a day when we have a baptism and have several to baptize all at one time. And you know, listen, God help us. But visitation's coming up. It's not too early to start praying. Oh, God, would you put that individual on my heart? And then, Lord, when you put them on my heart, would you go over yonder and start working so there'll be a work already in progress when I get there? He said, preacher, you've lost your mind. I believe I'm just beginning to find it. This work is not done the way the world's work is done. This work is a work of faith and a labor of love. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? If you're here tonight and you know Jesus, let's get to know Him better. If you're serving God, keep serving Him. If you're weak in the faith, let's get in this book. Let's get honest with God. I believe sometimes the Lord really wants to do a lot more for us than we want Him to do. Amen. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. Colter and a bunch of men, and Colter asked me to go. And Colt had I agreed to go. There ain't no way I could go, brother, right now. The Colder asked me if I wanted to go, but they're going down to Alabama. They're going to be in a bunch of prisons this week. Coach, you'll probably be assigned to one. But there'll be a bunch of men dividing up into teams and going into prisons. He said, preacher, what are they going to take into that prison right here? You're going with the Rock of Ages, you're only going to take a King James Bible. I promise you that. Amen. They're going to take this Bible. I believe it'd be pleasing to the Lord if we'd be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to get up every morning and remember, oh God, them boys is going to prison. Help them, Lord. Help them. Give them power. Lead them, Lord. Our people that are not doing well, a phone call can make all the difference in the world. Just be sensitive to the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, don't leave not knowing Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're like this man in the Bible, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Just get alone with God tonight. He'll help you. How many believe that tonight? He don't want us to stay weak. He wants us to be made strong in the power of His might. Amen. All hearts and minds clear this evening.